thank you very much. A joy to be with you tonight, and I'd like to begin just by telling the class of 2015, congratulations. Now, I know it's not done yet. You don't have the diploma in your hand, but hopefully you will here soon. And what a joy it is to take place and take part in this service. And I want you to know that while I'm preaching tonight, I'll probably look down quite your way a bit, or look at you quite a while as we're going through the preaching, because I really, one of the reasons we're here tonight is for you. I also want to say to those of you here tonight who have helped put these through and others, I'd like to say this evening, Christian education is worth it. In the backdrop of what I see in our day and time, I believe a Christian education is more vital than ever before. And I want to encourage every parent, every grandparent, every family member, every friend, you say in some form, some fashion, I have sacrificed so that these young people and many others can have an opportunity in a Christian school. I want to encourage you to keep it up. Your labor, your investment, your work is not in vain. And I believe in what is happening at a place like this. And so I hope that you'll maintain that commitment and see the importance of it. Well, tonight I'd like to remind you of a very familiar verse that I want to share with this class tonight and also with all of you. I realize that my primary prayer is that it'll be a help to them, but I believe God will use it to be a help to each one of us here tonight. It's a very familiar verse, Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 33. And if you know it tonight, I would invite you to quote it with me. If not, you just carefully listen, because these words hopefully will be explained tonight. And so I'll say the reference, and then for those of you that know the verse, I ask you to join me in quoting it tonight. And that reference is Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, as I look around to those of you who are graduating tonight, I have no idea as to whether or not you have a life's verse. The older I get, the people ask me, they say, what's your life verse? It depends on what book of the Bible I'm reading, because a lot of times things stand out to me. But I hope that for all of you tonight, as you prepare to go on this next stage in your life, that this book will have a dear place in your heart, and that there's a verse especially that will mean the world to you and help you and to guide you in the days to come. And one of the verses that has spoken volumes to me is Matthew 6:33. When I read that verse and Jesus talking to His disciples, I believe Jesus was telling His disciples about the danger of distraction. When He tells them, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I'll never forget as a kid playing Little League Baseball. I remember one of the first games ever that I played under the lights. Our field was lit. Up to that point, we had played in a rather dilapidated park. There were no evening games because there were no lights. And I'll still never forget standing there in the baseball diamond playing shortstop that night. Now, some of you say, how can a chubby kid like you play shortstop? Well, I was a lot skinnier then, just like some of you out there tonight. And I remember as I was standing there playing shortstop, we were warming up while the pitcher was pitching, just doing his warm-up pitches. And all of a sudden, I remember looking up in the lights, and I'll never forget it. It was the biggest moth I'd ever seen in my life. Here I was as a 10 or 11-year-old boy. All of a sudden, I forgot that I was playing baseball, warming up before the inning began. And I looked up and I saw this huge moth swimming through the air around that light. And it absolutely fascinated me. I have no idea of how long I'd been watching that moth. But I can tell you this. There was an event that all of a sudden caught my attention when I heard the crack of a bat. And as soon as I heard the crack of the bat, my eyes came off the moth. I looked at home plate and I saw this ball flying at me at what seemed to be millions of miles an hour. And I can promise you that what took place after that, there was really not any skill involved. It was simply self-defense, in which the ball came into my left hand, it hit my glove, and I'll never forget what happened after that. The ball and my glove went out into left field. It had totally caught me by surprise. And while I was dressed in a baseball uniform, while I was obviously on a baseball diamond, of all the places where I could have been distracted, it was right there playing shortstop, and it was perhaps the most embarrassing event of my baseball career. But ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you tonight, there's something that's far worse than being distracted in a baseball game, and that's being distracted in life. And it is something while we say to these seniors tonight, listen, don't you be distracted. It's a reminder for all of us tonight to understand and remember the words of Jesus and beware of the danger of distraction. We live in a day and time where many people are taught to live for things rather than God. We live in a day and time where people are taught that peace and contentment is found in materialism rather than Jesus Christ. And it's sad to say that those attitudes are not just found in society, but it's found in our churches as well. And so tonight, I want us to see the words of Jesus, and I want to give you three simple things. And tonight, to every member of the class of 2015, I say to you tonight, don't you leave these doors distracted. Because there are things ahead in which you'll need God's Word and God more than you ever have before. Now we begin tonight by seeing, first of all, our pursuit. Jesus says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. There He is talking about a pursuit. He's talking about following. If you're here tonight and you've had siblings in your life, you know what it means to pursue or to be pursued. I have three children. It doesn't take very long when my son is working on his Legos upstairs in his bedroom that his sister, the monster, comes and destroys it all. And when that takes place, all of a sudden she bounds down the stairs and down he comes after her and he's following her and she's screaming. He knows full well what it means to pursue after something. And I'm here to tell you tonight that every individual in this room, right now where you sit, you're pursuing after something. For every graduate tonight, I tell you that right now in the depths of your soul, you're pursuing after something. I've known of some people who have said, boy, I can't wait till graduation night. And then after that, I'm going to get out from under my mom and dad. I'm going to go do whatever I want. Why do they have that attitude? Because they're pursuing after something. I've talked with others who have, after their graduation, they've said, you know, I just want to do whatever the Lord wants me to do. And they maybe don't have the clearest direction in life. But I tell you tonight, they're still following after something. And for everyone wearing a cap and gown, understand tonight, right now where you sit, your life is headed in a direction. You're following after something. And as well as you've been taught and as well as you have been cared for, those things cannot compensate or force you into following the right things. You know, the Bible tells us a lot about what we're to follow after. Do you know that? Deuteronomy 4 and verse 29, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find Him. No hide and go seek with God. God said, if you want me, you can find me, but seek me with all of your heart. And for every Christian in this room tonight, I remind you that if you really desperately want the answer and you desperately want to follow God, if you're wholehearted and earnest, you'll find it. There may be times, young people, in the days to come, there'll be things that come your way that I could articulate example after example, but it won't really mean much to you right now. There'll be times when you wonder, should I go to the left? Should I go to the right? Should I do this? Should I do that? Should I pursue this? Should I pursue that? God made you a promise. Seek Him with all of your heart and you'll find it. The Bible tells us in 1 Chronicles 16:11, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. We talk to these graduates tonight and we encourage them to seek the Lord in the days to come. May I remind all of us ought to be in the seeking business. It's not just a message for high school seniors, although I will admit, in the greatest decisions that you have ahead, seek the Lord in His face continually. It's so easy to be in a Christian environment and we become numb to our own need for God and we become just simply robots, not necessarily of our teachers or the institution or the church's fault, but of our human nature. And tonight, leave here with a great awareness that you need God in your life now more than ever before. And seek His face continually. In Psalm 27:4, the psalmist said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. Now let's stop there for a moment. Imagine with me you're watching Fox News or CNN. And a microphone is shoved into a man's face and they say, you can have anything in this life that you want, what would it be? And imagine with me on national television on a live broadcast, this man with the microphone in his face, he said, if I could have anything in the world, it would be this, to be in the house of the Lord. Boy, the world looks at somebody like that and says he needs to be committed. You know, church is for boring people. The world says these people that think they need God and to be in the house of the Lord, that's a little bit delusional, but the psalmist, his one desire, more than money, more than entertainment, more than anything this world could afford, he said, if I could have anything, this is what I would seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the day of my life. Young people, I want to make a statement. I want you to look this way. This is just for you. But I'm going to tell you, your attitude towards the house of the Lord will determine a lot about your future. Let it be a place that you enjoy. Let it be a place that you go to and your soul is fed. Listen, it will make a great difference. And I have found that my attitude towards the house of the Lord as a Christian all these years is a direct indicator of what's happening in my heart. Now I stop for just a moment and ask you, what are you seeking after tonight? Young person, what direction are you headed? Mom and Dad, what direction is your life tonight? What are you pursuing after? He says, but seek ye first, listen, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I don't know what you do here in Northern Virginia, but I'm sure that for a lot of churches you have a potluck or a fellowship. Sometimes you have a dinner. Don't you like those dinners, especially the dessert table? Why is it when we have those special dinners, when we go to the dessert table, that the ladies, instead of giving us a plate this big around, they give us a plate about that big around? You ever notice that? I'll tell you what I do. I just go back to the front of the main serving table and I grab the divided large plate so I don't mix my banana pudding with my apple pie. But sometimes you get to a large table and you know what? You have a lot of decisions to make, don't you? Just a personal aside, when I go to the table, I'm looking for the home cooked stuff. I can eat Mrs. Fields' pie somewhere else, but when I see something that's home cooked, that's where I want to go. But tonight, if I put a table before you young people, it would only have two choices on it. And here's very simply what those two choices would be. Your way or God's way. Now, I like simple things because for a simple person like me, it really helps me. You understand, when you leave this place tonight, it's the kingdom of God and His righteousness, or you're going to choose His way or your own way. And all of us need to be reminded tonight, when you desire your way more than God's way, it always leads to destruction. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. Tonight we say, preacher, I believe it. Well, hey, let's all leave here living it. All it takes to destroy any one of us in this room tonight is for God to let us have our own way. And young person, you want to destroy yourself, listen to me, you just have your own way. Or you can have the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The kingdom of God. You know, there's some things that are eternal. I hate to tell you, but the new car you pulled in the parking lot, and I'm certainly not against new cars. I'd rather have a new car than an old one. But can I tell you, as we would say back home, it ain't going to last forever. You're here tonight and you say, I have great material wealth. Well, be reminded, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world yet lose his own soul? But I beg of every Christian tonight, live, make that choice of God's way, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Let that be your decision. Let that be your choice. Let it be said, that's what I am following after. And so every member of the class of 2015, I say to you tonight, you're chasing after something. Make sure it's God. We see our pursuit, but seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We also see a priority. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Now, I'd like to say something this evening, and I say it very respectfully. And as a matter of fact, I'll say it with a little personal application to myself. But you know, you can be a Bible college student, or you can be a graduating senior in a Christian school, or you can be an evangelist and the president of a Bible college and still not be seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. This tie may make me look pretty because my wife helped match me, but I want you to know it doesn't do much for my spirituality. You're here tonight and you say, well, my location, why, just by the fact I'm here tonight, that makes me a spiritual person. Or maybe for somebody here tonight, you say, that makes me a Christian. You know, that logic is about as crazy as somebody standing in a pasture saying, well, that makes me a cow. Go stand in a garage and say, that makes me a car. Vroom, vroom. You'd say, that makes you crazy is what it makes you. Sometimes we think that our spirituality is determined by our location. But I can be a preacher of the gospel tonight and still not seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Young people in a Christian school, parents here, perhaps you go to a Bible preaching church. You're to be commended for that, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Jesus in Matthew 22 and verse 37, He told His disciples, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. What was He talking about? He was talking about a priority. We all have priorities in here. It's just sad to say they're not always the right ones. Psalm 63:1, the Bible says, O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee, my flesh longeth for Thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. It sounds to me like here was a man who had a great priority for God. Now herein is the deception tonight. We sometimes say, God is my priority, yet we don't spend time in His Word. We say, God is my priority, and we only pray in emergencies. We say, God is my priority, and we live like the devil. My prayer is that the Holy Spirit of God tonight will divide and show us what reality is and what His expectation is, and that tonight we'd be able to leave with an earnest desire to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Problem is, we have too many idols. You don't have to go to some Hindu country to see an idol. They're alive and well here in America. The God of entertainment, the God of enrichment, the God of materialism. There are things that draw us from different sides of the coin. And they keep us from seeking first the kingdom of God. And to the class of 2015, I say to you tonight, when you leave this place, it makes a world of difference as to who you seek first. A cap makes you look to be a fine young man or a fine young lady. But much more to be desired is to have a heart that seeks first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Our small town where Ambassador is located, we're located in a town of 488 people. Don't you laugh. Some of you say that's how many people live in a block of our housing development. 488 people. We don't have a lot there. I'll tell you what we do have. We do have a campus that's filled with students that have a heartbeat to serve the Lord, and it's a joy to be back on campus every time I'm there. We have a restaurant. We used to have a barber shop until the barber turned about 100. It's hard to get business when your hand's shaking really hard. But you know, one thing we do have is we have our very own post office. If you want to know what's going on in town, go to the post office. Talk to the postmaster and she can tell you everything she's heard while she's been putting mail in the boxes. But I remember one day years ago going to the postmaster. His name was Phil Cash. I'll never forget this. I walked in and I saw Phil and I said, boy, Phil, I'm glad to see you. I've got a big problem. I've got this piece of mail here that I need to get there in a hurry and I need your help. He said, man, you've come to the right place. At that time, first class postage was probably below 40 cents. And I'll never forget. He said, now listen, now if you send that first class, who knows when it's going to get there. But here's this envelope. It's called priority mail. He said, you give me like $3 or $4 and I'll make sure we'll try to get it there in the next 2 to 3 days. I mean, this is faster. This is quicker. Now, we don't guarantee it, but usually it's 2 to 3 days. He said, or, and he whipped out the express mail option. He said, now this is the real deal. Here, you give me $12 and we'll get it there overnight and it'll be there by noon the next day. I remember standing there deliberating and thinking to myself, okay, $3 or $4 or $12. That time, that was the equivalent of 2 extra value meals at McDonald's. And my stomach spoke louder than my reasoning. And I said, you know, let's go with the priority mail. And instead, I just paid him $3 or $4 and the letter got to where it needed to go. But I tell you that story tonight to illustrate something. The higher priority I put on that piece of mail, the more it cost me out of my pocket. And you know the same is true tonight. I'm speaking to individuals in this room tonight. You know what is holding you back? It's some idol in your life that you're unwilling to set to the side. And instead of pursuing God wholeheartedly, you're distracted. You may be here tonight. You've got some friendships that if you let them continue to pull you a certain direction, they're going to wreck you. And tonight you say, I am unwilling to pay that price. You may be here tonight. You say, I don't want to live a pauper. I want to make lots of money. And God, whatever you want, I don't care. All I want to do is have a successful living in the eyes of the world. And you say, God, I am not willing to pay that cost tonight. My friend, if you're a Christian here and you sit in these pews and your heart is stubborn with greed or pride or self-ambition, will you pause for just a moment to remember what God paid for you? And let me remind you of what you were before He bought you. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How is it tonight that we can walk out of this room and let God be anything but first? When we think of Calvary and we think of an empty tomb and we think tonight that we wouldn't be here except for the grace of God. One of the worst mistakes we can make is to give God second, third, fourth place and walk out these doors and be content. He deserves the place of superiority. I remember as a kid, growing up, we would have field day. I love field day because we didn't have school that day. I was raised in public school, and I mean from morning to the late afternoon, it was all the Coke and ice cream you could eat and activities to let you run all that energy off. My mom, she kept everything that I got when I was in elementary school, much like this up here. I thought, this guy's mom's done a great job, you know, keeping all this stuff in a box, or maybe he shoved it there himself. But my mom had a chest where she kept all kinds of knickknacks, and I'll never forget looking through there and seeing an old ribbon that I got from a field day as just a chunky elementary kid. If I took you to that binder tonight, you would find a green fourth place ribbon. Now, don't be too awed by that. I know some of you are just aghast at the great superiority. A green fourth place ribbon, you understand? I can only imagine how my mother must have been when I walked through the door with that fourth place ribbon. I probably came through there and said, Mom, look here, I got me a ribbon, and it's fourth or fifth place. And on the outside, she's looking at me, and some of you that are familiar with Southern lingo, she probably thought to herself, well, bless your heart, son. Now, I wouldn't have known what that meant as a kid. I thought that was a good thing. But I bet you on the inside, she would have said, fourth place? Fourth place? Are you my kid? Fourth place out of 4 or 5 people. You got fourth place? That's not too impressive, is it? But you know what we do sometimes? We as Christians, we say, well, you know what? I've done this. I've done that. And we wave our little third or fourth place ribbon as if it's some great accomplishment. And the truth is, it's far less than what God wants from us. Young people, I tell you tonight, when you head out those doors, will you be able to say, hey, tonight, more than anything else on the face of God's earth, I want to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What's your priority tonight? The last thing I share with you in closing is just a promise that God made. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I like promises, don't you? My daughter Karis, every once in a while, she'll say, Daddy, do you promise me? When your youngest child, who happens to be a daughter, says that, it just melts your heart as a father. You're just like, okay, I promise, honey. And that promise is a powerful thing. And as strong as a promise is between a parent and a child, even much stronger is that promise from a heavenly father to his children. Jesus told his disciples, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he said, all these things shall be added unto you. Now let me make just a brief disclaimer before I wind this all up tonight. What I'm about to say is not advocating the health and wealth gospel that's being preached today. Let me tell you, folks, and I say this unashamedly tonight, and you can talk to me after the service, but I'm telling you, if I was a faith healer like some of these guys advertise, charging $20 a head to load up into an auditorium and supposedly do the miraculous, you know what, if I could honestly do that tonight, instead of charging admission, I would go to the largest hospital in the D.C. area, go to the cancer pediatric ward, and I would empty that place out for free. You know, people talk about sowing a seed of this and sowing a seed of that. I'm not saying tonight that if you say, God, hey, your righteousness and your kingdom first in my life, that God's going to make you a millionaire. I'm not saying tonight that God is going to give you perfect health. But I'll tell you this, God's promise is that if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, listen to me, He'll give you everything you need. When I was a teenager, I thought I needed the newest game station. We had Commodore 64s when I was a kid. I'm ashamed to admit that. Some of you up here are like, what is that? It's basically like stones and sticks. That's about what it is in the computer industry. You know, I look at you young people tonight, you got some pretty heavy decisions coming up. Do you know that? Can I scare you for a moment? You know, one day you're going to get married. Hopefully. You want to marry the right one? I sure hope you do. I want you to. If you don't, I do. I want you to marry the right one. I'm going to tell you how you find her. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You've got decisions ahead of you. What is my career path? What does God want me to do? That ought to be the ultimate question that you ask. At this juncture in your life, you say, how do I find it? I don't know what it is, but I can promise you this. You seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God told these disciples, I'll meet your material needs. I'll give you direction. Just do what I ask. You might be here tonight and you say, boy, on this Friday night, what is the big deal? So what if we leave this room tonight and God's not first? So what if we leave this room tonight and my idea is I'm not interested in seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What is the big deal? I'll tell you the big deal. A gentleman that I went to school with, I remember he had two children, a son and a daughter. After graduation, he went to Eastern North Carolina to go pastor a church. I'll never forget one day on social media learning that his 17-year-old son had been tragically killed in an automobile accident. You ever had that feeling where it just felt like you'd been hit in the stomach when somebody close to you had suffered great loss? I remember contacting him. I found a way to contact him, and I didn't ask him for details. I just wanted him to know that I was praying for him and his wife, and he said, thank you very much. But a few days later, I got my hands on the article, and I read how he had passed away. He was in a vehicle with his fiance, his girlfriend, soon-to-be fiance, I think, and she was driving down the road. He was in the passenger seat. And while she was driving, somebody texted her. She looked at her phone and she began to return the text. And the next thing she knew, when she looked up, she was right head on with a tractor trailer, turned the car a certain way, killed him instantly. Now, folks, while texting and driving is not a great idea, I'll guarantee you one thing. If we went to that young lady in Eastern North Carolina and we said, you could go back to this day and you could redo it over, I'll guarantee you one thing. She would have looked at every one of us and said, would to God I would not have been distracted. Cost her one of the dearest things in her life. And folks, I'm here to tell you tonight, there's a grave danger for any one of us walking out of that room distracted by the things of this life. And so with every member of the class of 2015, I want you to look this way just as my parting words. I don't know that I've ever met any of you before, and if I have and I don't recognize you, don't be offended at me and I won't be offended at you. But I'll tell you what, if there's anything that I could wish for you tonight, more than a new car, more than great wealth, I would say walk out of this room seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And remember God's promise, and all these things shall be added unto you. And may God help all of us to beware of the danger of distraction. Would you bow with me in prayer tonight? Father, thank You, Lord, for this time. Lord, our greatest desire is to see these young people leave this room tonight with a heart that's following passionately after You. Lord, I pray that You'd give them direction. I pray that, Father, they'd not be distracted by the things of this life. And Lord, I pray as well for moms and dads and loved ones here this evening. It's so easy to get caught up in things. Lord, it's so easy to get caught up with the way of this world. I pray that somehow, some way, that the words of the Lord Jesus would affect us in such a way tonight that we would shove those things aside and seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And I pray for the class of 2015 that, Lord, You'll help them to navigate the difficult things that are ahead by claiming Your promise and living according to Thy word. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.